Believe afternoon, you're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 KKNW, AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. So glad to be back in the studio. Actually, I'm so glad to see the sunshine. Actually, when you're not feeling good and all of a sudden you're feeling great, hey, life is good. So, hey, thank you so much for listening to Mother's Justice Show. Thank you for Marketplace Shoes for being our sponsor and loving us up so much, and we're just so grateful. Mr. Rye, I've missed you. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Rye?
I'm doing fine, Reverend Harriet, and I'm glad to see that you're back.
Yes.
So you had a very successful trip and a very proud and joyful trip, I understand.
Yeah, I went down to Tuskegee. I mean, I had not been to Tuskegee before. And my granddaughter, my third oldest granddaughter, Tunde, the one that people don't hardly know about, he's the one who worked with me as an optician. So he's an optician, so his day job does allow him to be out doing things. But it's his daughter. She took herself to Tuskegee, and she graduated in veterinarian science. And we'll be looking forward to going into the veterinarian program to become a vet here in September. She's really excited. She was the one of the first female drum roll a leader in the history of Tuskegee. And so she got to be, at the great Mardi Gras a few years ago in that great band, and went all over the South and did a commercial with Shaq O'Neal, I think that's his name. And so she went down in 2017, and next year she took her horse with her. So we knew when you take your horse, you ain't coming back. So she has a horse down Tuskegee with her. So it was a great weekend. We had some time in Atlanta, and that vitamin D was right on the money. That sunshine was great.
I've heard people taking their car, but this is the first I've ever heard about somebody taking their horse.
Oh yeah, and what I learned when she took her horse is they have all these back roads, and they have motels and places and stables for people who travel that way. And of course, they ran into all this nonsense that you get anyway, and you know, some of the people thought that she didn't have everything right, you know, because you got to have your papers in order to, the horse has to have their papers in order to stay in these stables and stuff. And so, you know, she had her uncle with an Omai, because she couldn't even drive. I mean, he drove all the way. From Seattle, it was an adventure. He ran into a whole bunch of other kinds of stuff, but everywhere they went, they got the business, because they don't see black people with horses coming to stable, but they have like motels for the human beings and a stable for the horses on these back roads with no lights and no. So they almost got run off the road in Mississippi, like I did when my former husband, we went down to Montgomery. We got ran off the road in Flagstaff, Arizona, and Jackson, Mississippi, in these back roads. And so what he taught my granddaughter is that if you're traveling in the South at night, you should always travel with a full moon. She learned a lot that trip, because it was not a full moon. And you know, coming from the South, those back roads, a full moon will light the road up, will light up the elements. So they made it into Tuskegee. It was he said he would never do it again. But so she got a horse with her.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad when I live down south, and I went to visit my grandfather out in the country. But for the most part, I was in what they call the lakeside of Shreveport. So I didn't have very much experience about being out. Me and farm animals didn't get along that well. Anyway, I always had bad experiences, whether it was a calf, a rooster, they all didn't like me. And so I didn't like them, so I just wasn't a farm guy.
Yeah, well, she loves all those animals.
Yeah, that's good, though. I mean, you know, I'm glad to see her pursue that. That's good. Oh, yeah. We need to have folks everywhere.
Yeah, we do, you know, and stuff like that. So, and it's good to see young people in school, because the media, I'll talk about that a little later, but the media always bring us what's not working. But there's a lot of things working, because on the Saturday before Mother's Day, all the HBCUs have graduation. You know, all of them.
Yes, yes. And well, I learned a lot from Dr. Leslie Baskerville, who was Angela's, I hired Angela to give her first job in Washington, D.C. the National Association for Equal Opportunity in Higher Education, NAPIO. And and being able to travel back and forth to DC and other places. And I've been to Jackson, Mississippi. Until 2 years ago, I was going to Tunica every year with Congressman Benny Thompson's retreat that he was having his policy conference. So I got a chance to see that we do have a lot of young Black folks that are doing very, very well, and we don't hear nearly enough about them. Because I'm just hoping now with these new media outlets, with social media, we can be more in tune and keep up with the progress of these young Black folks.
Well, yeah, because they're doing great things. I mean, I'll just say this part and I'll repeat it later on. I've never seen so many honor students. You had Magna, all of them. I mean, I'll name them later on, but we had over 150 students or more that was honor students there. I mean, it was incredible. The amount of the smart young people that's in college that we get the Black, we don't get all that news about. We get what's not working.
Yeah.
We have thousands and thousands of places where young people and Black people are absolutely thriving in their purpose. Mm-hmm. They know what they want to be. They're getting their grades in. And that's all the HBCUs. I mean, you got a bunch of them there in Louisiana. And, you know, I mean, really and truly, they're doing well. I mean, you know, and people are raising money because they understand what's coming and they're trying to prepare young people. They understand, like the speaker said, talking about 2040 and all of this stuff that's going on in America with abortions and all of this is that it's the browning of America. And these people absolutely are. Well, I mean, they want to have things set up like South Africa did, you know, and that's what the goal is, because South Africa got the idea from segregation. And so that's what they're trying to do. But they were talking to the young people about it. This is their world. They have an opportunity. They're going to have to do the work that's necessary, because the other thing I'll say about Alabama, I've never seen such horrible commercials. I mean, it's one lady running. I mean, she wants to help. She wants to finish the wall that Trump didn't finish. She wanted to deport people. She wanted to put them in jail. And everything is about fear. The only person on there who's running again is the governor. The governor talked about jobs. You know, these people don't talk about the quality of life. I mean, I had people with guns calling people liberals. I mean, I'm talking about people who don't have guns and all this stuff. I mean, but it's no job opportunity. They're not talking about putting bread on the table. And it's all fear-based and it's all trying to lock down things. And these people got lots of money because every 10 or 15 minutes, they're coming back on with another commercial, man.
That's right. That's right. Well, a couple of things are happening in my world. One is that my brother Jerry Rye was memorialized on Saturday at Holgate Street Church of Christ. I want to thank Minister Jimmy Hurd and the congregation over there for being welcoming. And we're finding out more and more things. Like for one thing, he fell in Safeway February 9th. Renton Fire came, gave him a temperature, pulse, respiration, gave some Gatorade called TriMed. Took him down to Valley Medical Center, and he was there for about 4 hours. And he left there, walked 3 blocks to a gated community, collapsed between a building and a fence, and died. It was there for 7 days until he was found. But we're finding out things like the medical examiner said he died from head trauma and bleeding from the brain. And he also said that my brother had COVID. Now, if he was at Valley Medical Center for 4 hours as a patient, and they didn't check to see if he had COVID. So we have some serious questions about the conduct of not only them, but also the Renton Fire Department, Valley Medical Center, and a couple of other folks. And we'll be talking to some folks about making sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else. So that's the most important thing, is to get justice for Jerry. The other thing I want to say is that on the 21st of this month, Don Dudley, the founder of KYAC Radio, passed away last Monday, and he will be funeralized at Holgate Street Church of Christ.
Okay.
May 21st at 11 o'clock a.m. And Don Dudley was a mentor of mine. He is a person that got me involved in radio in the late 60s, KYAC was up on Queen Anne Hill before they moved down to Third Avenue. Mm. But I can just remember so many people got their opportunities and also got a chance to move on up and down the line. I think about Beltre Johnson, who was doing the news, eventually ended up being the public relations person for the Washington State Correction System. Lee Carter was there. As a matter of fact, Lee tells a story about, man, the Urban League Metropolitan Seattle gave me a deal to go to work at KYAC for $75 a week. And then he ended up with being a big time reporter at King TV. You see, Vivian Phillips is one of the leaders in the arts community in the city.
Oh, yeah. She was there, heard that from her husband. Yep.
Yeah, then we have people like Frank P. Barrow, who is legendary. We used to be the Platter Playboy. On Saturday, Spencer Haywood, the former Supersonic great, he also had a program, a jazz program on KYAC. I think that was on Saturday evenings. And then the late Joe White also had a program, a music program, on KYAC. And I just think about Joe Jones, the superintendent of Seattle Public Schools, father, Frank P. Barrow, told a story when we honored Chris H. Bennett for his contributions. And Dr. Brent Jones was on the same program. And Frank P. Barrow says, I remember at KYAC when Brent Jones was a little boy running up and down the halls of KYAC, his father, Joe Jones, was a sales manager. Then we look at folks like Martin Wyatt, who retired as the sports director for ABC Sports in the Bay Area with probably 12 million listeners.
Wow. So
they're just Byron Butler, Bonnie D, who did the gospel program. Frank Dudley, who was Don Dudley's uncle, was on the sales staff. And then when the station was going into transition, a guy by the name of Wayne Parks had a consulting company, brought myself, Yvonne Dixon, several other people on, and we kept the station running. And the good thing about being to keep it running is that we use that to also push to change the name of Empire Way to Martin Luther King Jr. Way. That started when I was doing this talk show at KYAC in November 1980, interviewing Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Wow.
Made good. Shea brought Reverend Jackson down on Third Avenue to the studio. And Stevie Wonder was having an event January 15th, but in Washington, D.C. And Reverend Jackson said, well, since you're so far away, other people are having some kind of naming something in honor of Dr. King. So talked to Clarence Williams, the Black firefighters, and other folks, members of the clergy, about changing the name of Empire Way, which at that time started in the Black community on Madison. And a lot of people tried to get us to change up, but we didn't do it. We had the support of Sam Smith and the chair of the Transportation Committee at the time, late council member George Benson, and his staff is the one, Bob Morgan, told us, don't let them make you change the name, because Empire Way is State Highway 900. They'd have to put MLK signs over the freeway. So that started at KYAC. But I just say that Don Dudley gave me the microphone in the late 60s. And
I want to send condolences to Haywood and the family.
Yeah.
And also my former husband, James Salisbury photographer, was their photographer when anyone was coming into town. James always did the production pictures and the pictures for the press for them to announce whoever was coming into town. And so he helped us get our start too. I mean, him and Mr. Beaver, I mean, because Mr. Beaver gave us a start to give us the money to open up the business. And mm-hmm. we had a long time relationship for as long as they were going with Salisbury Photography. They did. So, yeah. So we're all in this. We're all wrapped up together in history, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly are. There's no question about it.
But I also want to offer my condolences to you and your family with your brother. Untimely death and about what happened to your brother. You know, that's really
We want to make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else. If the medical examiners say he had COVID, how come the people at Valley Medical Center didn't know he had COVID? Now, there's another attorney told me he was at another Swedish hospital on the east side, and he said he wasn't there 10 minutes before they took had him take a COVID test.
Right. Well, you know, that's medical disparity. We know what it, we knows what it looks like, and we know all the time that it's going on. So anyway, and we're not, we're still surprised, but we're not as astonished as we used to be, because we know that it's still going on. You know, so I hope that you all and your family get some answers.
Yes, indeed.
And also come up with a protocol. I mean, now that COVID don't look like it's going to ever go away. I mean, so it means that you got to be testing people for a long time to find out, especially people who might be vulnerable. I mean, it's like they say with all the, you know, elderly and all of that. So he fit every category that should have been. Number one, he was injured. Number two, he fit every category, all the rest of them. He fit every category that he should have had care.
Except for he was an old black man without any money. That's what it really was. That's what it boiled down to. Not even a COVID test. And somebody coming to the hospital that has COVID could expose how many people that might not have a mask on or have immunization. And some people who've been immunized can get it again.
Right, right, yeah.
That's why you can't be careful enough.
No, you can't be careful enough, but we live in a we live in a country where we know that we're not valued. And that's why we have to put value on ourselves, on our family, on our friends, and in our community. We have to value ourselves. That's because the system has not, they've never seen us human. You know, I mean, we've been fighting for human status. So we've been fighting for human status for a long time.
And you know, that's, before that, that's, we go, that's there's one thing I want to say about Don Dudley. In the 70s, the license was worth $2 million. And they would not loan him $200,000.
Wow! So he was denied the economic opportunity by not giving him the loan to be able to stay in business.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
It's wow. Economic apartheid.
Well, you know, we had similar. I mean, we tried to get our loan for our business, and that same year, the SBA gave Tom Brokaw, that used to be on the evening news, they gave him $500,000 and wouldn't give us $25,000, and they offered us $10,000. And that's when I, you know, hey, if you can't get the full amount of money, you need to walk away from it. And otherwise, a little bit of money will put you out of business. And so we got up, you know.
Every day.
Yeah. So, but, well, all right, this is good. So I'm glad to know that you are doing well and your family is doing well and you're working. I don't think there's any legislative updates right now because there's hardly nothing going on in the legislature. So I'm getting ready for next year. Probably getting ready for all the Republicans going to run. I hope the Democrats got a plan because they organized in the South, man. At least people are organized down South.
Well, Roe v. Wade and January 6th might be the downfall of the Republicans. They count their eggs before they hatch.
Also, Putin. I mean, because we don't know what's going to come out. What Trump gave Putin, and he might have the code for the nuclear. We don't know yet. So
you're right about that. We don't know
as this thing continues. So I want to thank you so much, Mr. Rye, for coming on, and good to see you. And
thank you very much, Rev. Harry. Appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150. 1150 KKNW. I'm your host, Rob Walden. We'll be right back.
Market Street Shoes is happy to sponsor the Mother's Justice Show in honor of our mother, Jackie Higgins Rosebrook, who spent her life fighting for social justice, and also in honor of all mothers who fight for social justice. Market Street Shoes, fashionable footwear and apparel for life's everyday adventures, in the heart of Ballard since 2006. Visit MarketStreetShoes.com.
What's one of your favorite memories?
Let's see. Well, there was this one time I went snorkeling in the Caribbean when I was a kid. It really just blew my mind. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach, it's so peaceful and you sort of forget there's a whole other world under there, just full of all kinds of life. We saw the most beautiful corals. I remember thinking they were waving at us as they moved with the ocean. And then there were all these amazing fish. They kind of reminded me of tropical birds. They were so bright and colorful, just darting all over the place like birds in the sky. I'll never forget it. It completely changed the way I look at the ocean.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shelley Place with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Kids are full of energy, but keeping them active in their teen years can be a challenge. Aim for an hour of physical activity every day. If they like sports, that's a great place to start. Keep the focus on fun, not winning, and encourage your child to do a variety of activities. If your child isn't meeting that 60-minute goal, gradually increase their activity in ways they enjoy. For more, talk with your pediatrician or visit healthychildren.org.
Hi, this is Dr. K. Mahina Intron, inviting you to tune in on Mondays on 1150 KKNW at 5 p.m. to Dr. K's Attuning to Your Abundance, where we honor everyday abundance through positive messages, poetry, music, affirmations, and writing exercises. For more information, contact drkworkshops@gmail.com or Facebook Dr. K's Abundance.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air after Mother's Day and graduation in the South, all the HBCUs. Thank you so much for all our support and for people who continue to support us over the years. We've been on the air eight years now and been around for 32 years with Mothers, for 31 years for Mothers for Police Accountability. It's 32 years. Let's get the count right. Hey, you have, sometimes you forget to count when you're having fun. My next guest didn't zoom in yet, so don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I just want to spend some time just talking about the South. I was there. I hadn't been to Atlanta in a while, and I had not ever been to Tuskegee. And what I saw was such great excellence and brilliance on the campus that was founded by Booker T. Washington, His Excellence. He walked from Hampton to Tuskegee, to Alabama. There he started in the town there. He started a Tuskegee Institute. It was a training institute in the beginning. And it started in 1881. That's a long time. For someone to have a dream and didn't have any of this electronic stuff we have today. Probably didn't even have, it didn't have any electricity. So they probably had to have oil lamps, probably to have wells. And then you had George Washington Carver, who actually came and worked with him with farming and with plants and stuff. And so, and I talked to one of my friends the other day, her grandmother and her uncle and her grandmother's two brothers went to Tuskegee and when it was a training institute. So it's had a long history of doing good things, and they've had some times when it was in the news, about the Tuskegee syphilis experiment and that type of thing. And so, what I saw in Tuskegee I saw such outstanding young people, who absolutely was brilliant. They put in their time. It was so many degrees that was so many young people that graduated. And to see that, because sometimes the news want to bring us all what's wrong with us. There's so many things that's right with us. And to be able to see that again, of course, I'm going to write the television stations in Montgomery, because they brought on the graduation of Auburn University, which is a big university there in Mason County. So both colleges are there in Mason County. Auburn University, I believe, is in Mason County, and so is Tuskegee. And it was like Tuskegee didn't even have a graduation, and there was some people who had harmed people. Some black people had harmed somebody. So that was on the news. But if you didn't know the other story, they showed a few black people at Auburn sitting at the tables, and they didn't show any black speakers. If that was the only news that you saw that day, then you had this depressing, lethargic feeling that comes on when we only hear about what's going on and it's negative, and we don't get any positive uplift. And so, So to have that positive uplift, and my granddaughter, like I said earlier, took her horse down there with her. She's not coming back to Seattle, not to live probably. But she loves being there. She's running the farm. I mean, she works, the farm that has the animals on it, and, you know, they have cows and horses, and so she does that. I think she was just building another shed, another place there on the campus. They have lots of land there in Tuskegee, and it's just beautiful. It's rural. I mean, now we had to drive a while to get a Starbucks. I mean, if you're going to get a Starbucks, you have to go into Alabama, into Montgomery. All the hotels' rooms was gone, so we stayed in Montgomery. I think it was East Montgomery. So we didn't really go down into Montgomery. I was in Montgomery last June, you might remember, because my stepmother passed away at 93, Alice Sinke Walden. And I had her on my show during the vote for 2017, and she talked about how long the lines was, but she was determined. And they stood in the line for a long time, and then they went back the next day, and she finally did vote. So she was on my show once. Alice was the historian of the family on that side, because she knew Rosa Parks. Also, she remembered when Eleanor Roosevelt came to town and went out to Tuskegee to ride in the airplanes with the Tuskegee Airmen. And her trip to Tuskegee convinced her husband, President Roosevelt, to enlist the help of the Tuskegee Airmen in World War II during the war. And they were escorts, and they never lost a plane. And they were wonderful escorts. And so that's so she always told that story. And I absolutely lived with her from time to time when she first went to school, when she first went to down to Tuskegee, because she didn't know anyone down there at that time, other than her great grandmother, because Alice was her great grandmother, and everybody knew that she was my stepmother, but she dearly loved me. So, anyway, to see that excellence, but also, you know, my son owns Converge Media, and they say Black Media Matters. And so when it was a blackout totally on Tuskegee and all the wonderful things that was happening at Tuskegee, I picked up the Tuskegee newspaper. And the Tuskegee newspaper, absolutely, it's about, it said Happy Mother's Day. And it says right up on the Tuskegee News, it says, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And this is what has been happening at these schools. I mean, that's what I mentioned earlier when Mr. Rye was on, is that Mother's Day weekend is the graduation. It's like a gift to Mother's Day for mothers. And when my children, children graduated from Elizabeth City State, it was always Mother's Day weekend. So Mother's Day weekend is really an auspicious weekend in the South for mothers. I don't know. I mean, because out here, graduations are late, and it's in June on the West Coast, because they're on quarters. In the South, they're on semesters, and it's semesters. And they start in August, and they end they end on Mother's Day. But my granddaughter's still on campus, because she has she's working on campus. She's working with younger people, training them and how to be with the animals. And her degree is in veterinarian science, like I said before. She just sent all kinds of, she's had all kinds of accolades. I mean, just to think that the first female on the drum line, I mean, that's a real big accomplishment. I mean, because she went down there because she had been at Kennedy High School for many years on the drum line, but she went down there. And so she was able to actually parlay that into a full scholarship for herself, to be able to do that. So anyway, I'm going to take a break right now. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show at 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Market Street Shoes is happy to sponsor the Mother's Justice Show in honor of our mother, Jackie Higgins Rosebrook, who spent her life fighting for social justice, and also in honor of all mothers who fight for social justice. Market Street Shoes, fashionable footwear and apparel for life's everyday adventures, in the heart of Ballard since 2006. Visit MarketStreetShoes.com.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. I'm the founder of Mother's Police Accountability. Been around here doing this justice work for many, many years. And also, we've been on the air 8 years, and that's pretty remarkable. Our goal is to keep the grassroots voice alive, not only here, but around the country in Seattle. And we did have the mothers, Harlem mothers on not too long ago, women in Harlem just trying to save lives. And we will have other mothers on. We'll have Rashida down in Oakland to come on really soon. We're working on that. And probably going back to Albuquerque, New Mexico really soon. Just love those people there. So yeah, but thank you for listening. And I love that song because I was raised by my grandmother. Grandma Hands is so important. I mean, so many grandmothers have rocked that cradle and raised children. And some great grandmothers are doing that, because my Alice, my stepmother, was my Isis' great grandmother when she went down to Montgomery and stayed there. And Montgomery is 30 miles west of Tuskegee, so it's not that far at all. And but you know what I enjoyed about Alabama and that part of the country? All the beautiful trees. I mean, it's like wild. I mean, they must have clean air, because it's a lot of trees on I-85 going from Atlanta, outside of Atlanta, going to toward Alabama. That's a lot of trees. It's a lot of room for a lot of development if they wanted more people to come. So I'm waiting on my other guest to see if she's going to zoom in right now. I'm waiting on Vicky Beats. But in the meantime, I can talk a little bit about... Oh, you're here? Okay. Hey. All righty. Well, welcome.
Thank you
for coming. Yeah, hey. So yeah, I was talking a little bit about Isis. You know, we share Isis in common.
Mm-hmm.
Your son-in-law is Isis' godfather.
Yep.
And you've been in her life all of her life. And so, and we flew down, he was on the plane with us. So we had a great trip. And, he was acting like a godfather, you know, with his tears.
Yeah.
You know?
We're all proud of her.
Yeah. You know, and I was talking about all the real intelligent young people who's there. I mean, I saw more, cum laude, the magna cum laude, and summa cum laude I've ever seen.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was well over 200.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow.
a lot of these, Isis was in veterinary and science, but they have all these people just working with animals and poultry to keep the food safe. Isis is, you know, going to be a veterinarian, be a doctor, but it's all of the stuff that's going on down there that people don't have a clue. Because I was just mentioning when I was talking on the air a few minutes ago, is that graduation in the South is always Mother's Day weekend. I mean, it's always that way. It's been that way forever, and it's like a gift to the mothers and stuff. But what happened is that you have all these young people coming from so many places and their families, but they have all these different degrees, man. I mean, really, in chemistry, you have all these people in chemistry, material science and engineering, electrical engineering, biology, veterinarian science. I mean, it is incredible what's going on. And I got to see the National Forest, Tuskegee National Forest.
Thing. Oh, well, and, I hope you took pictures.
Yeah, Tony took a picture of me there. And then it's a lake called Tuskegee. So we went around the lake there. And just to think about over 100. This was the 137th annual commencement, because they only have commencement once a year. Elizabeth City has commencement twice a year. That's why our Alma, they both finished in 2021, but Alma School has a commencement twice. So she finished school last December and came home and got started working at Fred Hutch in January. So, you know, she's been out, but they both finished at the same time.
Wow.
But the commencement, so they have commencement, spring commencement, and then they have the graduate for undergraduates is always on the Mother's Day. So I'm so glad that I was able to go to see this.
I know.
And the speaker, Dr. David K. Wilson, he finished in 77 and he went back in 79 to get another degree. But he came from a sharecropper's family. He was the older, he was the baby of 10.
Wow.
And he could only go in that time in Alabama. I think he's from, yeah, Alabama. Well, you didn't have to go to school all the time doing shit. Mm-hmm. And so, but the teachers told him if they could figure out a way for him to, for his son to come to school, you know, he could go to college. And his father told him college is for white people. You can't go to college, is what he said, because he was a sharecropper. He didn't know anybody. Yeah. He was a sharecropper. But his son was smart, and he was talking about being raised in poverty. In sharecropper's house, they had all the holes in the wall, and the white ladies would bring the Look magazines and Life magazine, and they would tape up the holes. But he got to dream around the world because he saw all those pictures, and he knew that there was something else better than what he was living. So he got a chance to get somebody took a liking to him. You know what it likes when somebody take a liking to you. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sometimes you get to be the teacher's pet. Somebody likes you. Yeah. That's what happened in segregation. Now, you might not get that in integration, but in segregation, somebody's going to like you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to like you. And one of these teachers did and helped him. And so he got a scholarship. And when he got ready to go to school, his daddy came in and put a piece of money in his hand, and he had tears down his eyes when he, you know, and when he left. And when he opened his hand, it was a $5 bill. It had taken him 5 years to save that money, being a sharecropper. Because at the sharecropper, at the end of the year, you don't end up with nothing because you buy food, and they charge that back, and they take all your so-called wages away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told his story about this. And so, you know, when I see you, I'll let you see the book. But and then, I mean, I think I got some extra ones. So, because you deserve one, because you're part of this family.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a rich experience. And it was nothing on the local television about Tuskegee graduates, only Auburn University, which is the big white university. And now it's But they brought all the stuff about what black people were doing, harming one another, you know, the regular thing.
Yeah.
You know, somebody picked up something and harmed somebody.
Yeah.
But nothing about the success story. But that Tuskegee have their own newspaper. Tuskegee has a paper called the Tuskegee News, and it says it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So they knew. I mean, but all of this, I mean, do you have to think about this? The man who set this in motion back in 1880s, and it's a private institution, so it's still going. But anyway, I'm just talking about that a little bit. But actually, I just wanted to talk a little bit too about all of our mothers are in spirit. You know, your mother passed away a few years ago. The love of your life. You know, mothers, I mean, for us who, everybody don't have a good relationship with their mothers, okay? I mean, we have to be clear about that. Some people are always at odds, and some people are estranged. But for people who've always had a good relationship, had a love relationship with their mothers, you know, mothers, it's always hard. I mean, yeah, because, you know, mothers are big magic.
Yes.
They're magic makers. I mean, and when that magic makers are gone, then our life, there's a void right there. But also, I know that you have lovely stories about your mother because we've talked about them sometimes, you know, and I just wanted to bring you on so you can, you know, because what it does is every time we remember them, we get more energy. I mean, you dream about them, something happens, you smell something. Mm-hmm. You smell something and you know you're not cooking it.
Yeah.
Smell that smell, you know, it might smell some perfume. I mean, people actually believe that they're gone somewhere. They're just beyond view.
Right.
And if you're open, receptive, and not afraid of all this other stuff, they will bring you a message of comfort because they want us to be comforted, because they want us to continue, because they get to live through us.
Right. Right.
They get to live through us. They get to, you get to sing a song that they couldn't sing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you be proud of your children and your grandchildren, because they're getting to do something. See, our ancestors died, a lot of them died with their music in them. But we get to sing a song.
That's right.
We get to sing a song. And, you know, Booker T, you know, bless his heart. I mean, he did not die with his music in him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so many of our ancestors did. You know, mm-hmm. They couldn't read, write, you right. know, and you know, they had skills, I'm sure. I'm sure they had a song that they could sing.
Yeah.
And so our kids, I mean, Isis is the fifth generation out of bondage. You know, because mm-hmm. my grandmother's father was born in bondage. So it was my grandmother, my father, myself, my children, and then my grandchildren, five generations.
Wow.
You know, five generations out of bondage. And my daughter's on a college that Booger T started, you know, so it's like, mm-hmm. oh, this is so, yeah, so this is good. This is good.
It is.
You know, so yeah.
It's amazing. But, and you brought it back to us. You know, right. they may not have aired it on TV or whatever, but it's here in Washington State.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to write a letter to the television.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it to them. As an out-of-town visitor, I was really shocked that was there for a graduation that did not make the news. And it was the 137th annual.
Wow.
That's something to crow about right there.
And that it did is. Make the news.
I mean, but racism is so cynical. It's so diabolical. It's so harmful. It's like they don't want to continue to hide stuff that's relevant for us.
Right.
You know, to continue to hide stuff, you know, it's mm-hmm. relevant. But anyway, and I know that your daughter graduated too. I mean, and I know that she got her PhD. She's a doctor now.
Yes,
you know, bless her heart. And, you know, I'm sure that I'll get to see her. I think I've only seen her once, but when she'll come back to Seattle someday, and I'll get to meet her. And so Mother's Day sometimes for us is trying, but you know, you did your best, you know, and you moved through it. And then you had your mother's strength there to help you out as you moved through it.
Yes, yes. You know, even today I've been thinking about her and, all mothers, we're not all perfect. But I love my mother, and some of us don't realize how good we have it until they're gone. You know, my mom was my mom would go without to give us and do it happily. You know, always putting us first. And I was this morning, and I don't know why I thought about this. But, you know, every now and then we'd get a couple dollars, $5. And I remember this one time we went down to the waterfront and I spent my money on my mother. I bought her a necklace.
You know, look at you. That's loving. That's that loving,
you know,
heart.
Yeah. And when I gave it to my mom, she goes, "That was for you." But I said, but that's it. Yeah, you gave it to me and I could do what I wanted with it. And I wanted to buy you something. And I you know, the thing is, I was mimicking her. You know, she gave and gave and gave to us. Well, I wanted to give my mama something back, you know.
And that beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and that says, you know, one thing about it, the mothers knows their children's heart.
Yeah.
And they know really and truly by the time the children are 5 or 6 years old, the mother know the ones that's a giver and the ones you got to work with to make them share.
Yeah.
them and take all of it for themselves. And those are the ones who have to wait. You have to work on them to open up their hearts a little bit and say, no, you know, we're going to share. You know, we're not going to have it all. But see, the mothers knows that.
Yeah.
And they work with those. They work to bring you out of that. Because if you leave the child in that, they're going to grow up like some of the kids like today. Yeah. You're growing up that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's bringing them out. Nobody's bringing them out of that. So,
no.
So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, because I know that you love your mother. I mean, we all love our mother, but sometimes and this time of year, I used to dislike Mother's Day. Uh-huh. Because of growing up in the Protestant church, all the mothers with a live mother sat on one side, and everybody with a mother who's passed sat on one side. And at one time, my grandmother's mother was alive.
Uh-huh.
And so as a little girl, I was on the other side with a white flower on, and she had on a red flower. And then my cousin, mother was alive, but wasn't raising her. So she was up. She was on that side with that red flower, and I was on the side with the white flower. Mm. And I always thought that was such a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Because they didn't recognize it, children. I mean, I wasn't grown. I was a kid. I was 5, 6, 7 years old on that side, you know. So, but over time, I moved past that because I know that they didn't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't know any better. They didn't do it in malice. They just didn't know any better. And so I learned to move past that. And I love Mother's Day. And I think I told you that I raised my children wrong because I raised them to any day they want to be good to their mothers, Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I, you know, I told you I buy my what? What do I buy?
Yeah.
I buy my own what? Cards.
Cards.
I buy all that, so I'm never disappointed because they do things for me the whole year. And then we get it, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, I might not get anything for Mother's Day, but they were just over here 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did something for me. I mean, like, Tony took me on a trip.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't get a Mother's Day card, but I got a trip. I better not be having my mouth poked out. Well, he didn't give me no card. No, I'm not going to get caught up in that. In Walmart. I mean, not in that Hallmark stuff.
Yeah. Okay?
Because a card could never say what the trip said.
Right.
And so we have to always remember that and that kind of stuff. But I just know that you were kind to your mother. You actually took care of her on the end of life. You know, we're a caregiver for your mother. And it's always a special place to be a caregiver, to help them at the end of life because they took care of us in the beginning of life. And so here they are on the end for us, you know, that...
It was full circle,
and it's a good thing. It really is, and so I just wanted to give you a shout out because I know we had talked earlier, and you know you were trying to figure out your weekend because you had some plans and those didn't evolve,
right?
But life is good, and you're looking well, and you're continuing on, what shout out you want to just give? Tell us your mother's beautiful name.
Carmelita, she didn't have a middle name, Shaw, it was her maiden name, Carmelita Shaw Arnes, beautiful woman, and she's here with me, and well, she watches out, and I love her, and I miss her, but I will see her again.
Oh, yeah, that is the promise. And the same way, like I said, I post last night for my, you know, I'm writing my book on Facebook and it's called The Spirit Basket. I mean, you know, I'm going to get my book printed probably sometime this year. But my spirit basket was having three mamas. And, you know, that's and this is my first year at being on the planet without a mother.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I'm in mid-70s. So I've had I've had 1, 2, 3 mothers. And so my life has been rich that way. And so I get to feel what it's like without calling that phone call up and talking to her. You know, I think my loneliness was that I talked to her every day.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I made sure, you know, I talked to my stepmother every day, you know, after all of her children passed away. My stepmother lived to see all her children that she had for my father. So she had her daughter by her first marriage and then she had me. But I called her every day for 5 years, every day.
What a blessing, though, to have a stepmother that loved you that much and you loved her, because a lot of people don't have that experience, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She loved me. That's why she could take in ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when ISIS went down there, she could take in ISIS. And so ISIS could go there and stay. And then she would drive to the campus to give ISIS a care package. She was always bringing up stuff. So she loved her. But she
I didn't know that.
Yeah, ISIS actually stayed at her house many times. And Tika did too, her mom did. And so she but her love was so pure and so fine, you know. So I think we're running out of time. But you know, Mother's Day is every day. So if I have any shout out to anybody, be kind to your mother every day. Don't wait till that 1 year, then go take her to dinner and think that's it. A dinner, you know, it's like the flowers. Man, make every day Mother's Day.
Right.
Thank you so much for being on the Mother's Justice Show. I think we're going to end with I Remember Mama. I hope that we can say have that one. Have you ever heard that song by Shirley Caesar? I Remember Mama in a wonderful way.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll make sure that you get that song. Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Okay. All right, you've been listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. I enjoy being on the air, and thank you so much. And thank you, Miss Beach.
Thank you.
Right.